Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The interest rate fixing scandal comes to New York, and pressure is mounting on Fed Chairman Timothy Geithner, who is testifying before Congress today about the manipulation of the rate that underpins many trades. That's known as LIBOR, or the London Interbank Offered Rate, for those of you who hate acronyms. Reuters broke the story earlier this week that U.S. prosecutors and European regulators are preparing to arrest traders in the case, and that could include traders here in New York. And now the Fed is caught up in the scandal as well. Let's get the latest from Matthew Goldstein, who is editor in charge of Wall Street Investigations for Reuters. Hi, Matthew. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. How are you?
And that's some title you have there. Reuters actually has a position now. This shows the state of the world that we live in. Editor in charge of Wall Street Investigations.
Yeah, it's a little intimidating when it appears on emails to people, I think so.
I think so. You can't go undercover with a title like that.
That's true.
So this is a previously scheduled testimony by Geithner today about the state of the economy, his regular recurring appearance before Congress, and his prepared remarks make no mention of LIBOR. But do you expect lawmakers to push on the rate scandal once the questions and answers start?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that's going to probably dominate today. In light of the release of the documents that came out about a week or so ago that showed that clearly the New York Fed had knowledge that, you know, there's that infamous conversation where the unknown Barclays trader says, we were not posting an honest LIBOR. And, you know, they've asked for additional documents from all the conversations the New York Fed had with the bank. And, you know, it's clear that, you know, Geithner did send stuff to the Bank of England saying we think you need to look at LIBOR, but they didn't. It does not appear they pressed very hard on it. And, you know, obviously it's come out. You know, they obviously use LIBOR in their own baseline pricing and benchmark for many, you know, TARP-related investments and loans.
And just as a correction, I think I mistakenly said Fed Chairman Timothy Geithner. Of course,
right,
he's Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. But the reason that this is relevant to the Fed and to him, which makes it easy to confuse, is that this era that they're investigating with the LIBOR rate fixing goes back to 2008, before Obama was elected, before Geithner was made Treasury Secretary, when Geithner was the head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, right, the New York branch of the Fed.
Right, absolutely. They were the ones who were doing these communications with various, and obviously they had read, there were press reports in the Wall Street Journal by my Reuters colleague now, Carrick Mollenkamp, has been very head on the story. And there was a lot of talk about rumblings. If you ask traders about LIBOR always being susceptible to, if not manipulation, sort of gaming, because it, you know, it's sort of put together by a bunch of banks. So it was good that the Fed was asking the questions. It's just not clear what they really did with the information that they got.
And part of the scandal on the British side of the Atlantic is that regulators allegedly kind of winked at it and said, okay, yeah, there's a financial crisis on. You bankers are in a lot of trouble. If it helps your bottom line right now to falsify this interest rate a little bit, then we're going to look the other way, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's sort of like there's two parts of the scandal, and one maybe is less likely to result in criminal charges, and that is the point during the crisis where Jennifer O'Blonde and I, my colleague who wrote the story about the arrest and charges coming, it's going to be harder for prosecutors to make a criminal case for instances where people were sort of putting in fake LIBOR to make their banks look healthier, because there is this idea that the regulators sort of winked and nodded at that. What they're more focused on is the pre-crisis period, where there's evidence that they, at least groups of traders, tried to attempt to manipulate LIBOR and collude together so they could impact on derivatives contracts they had and help them with the bank and their own personal trading profits. That's where you get to the more sort of concrete thing that, quite frankly, is easier to present to a jury. Oh, you may have actually made money off of this.
So based on your reporting that came out this week, who do you think is going to be arrested and who'll do the arresting?
Well, we don't know necessarily the names of the people. You know, we are looking to see who they are. We know that they are focused on some Barclays traders, first of all, because that was the ring that was most involved in LIBOR. And obviously they seem to be furthest along with the Barclays phase of the investigation, given Barclays, you know, apparent cooperation as part of its settlement agreement. I don't want to say like arrest can happen tomorrow. What they've done is they've started the process, DOJ down in Washington, which is running this out of Maine Justice. It's not coming out of the Southern District. They've started bringing in people to talk to them and notifying their lawyers and saying, hey, look, you know, we're getting close to making charges. It's sort of an opportunity to come in and say, tell us why you don't think that you're guilty, or also better for the prosecutors, get someone to take a plea and cooperate and turn very quickly. And it's a sort of common prosecutorial tactic. They'd rather get pleas as opposed to having to actually go to trial.
Right. But why might some of these charges or arrests be in New York rather than London?
Well, some will be in London, but there are actions that took place in New York, and also if they're New York citizens, I mean, if they're U.S. citizens, mm-hmm. the United States clearly has jurisdiction over them, because some of the traders were here, and some of the traders also overseas were U.S. citizens. So it's sort of like the way, and quite frankly, you know, historically, the European regulators that are getting better have not been the most aggressive on some of these things. And I think that's some reason why justice has been sort of better equipped to do these kind of cases. I do think you definitely will see prosecutions in London and sort of in tandem. And there may be people who could get indicted here that there may be extradition problems, because if they're from countries that we don't have favorable extradition treaties with, it may be difficult to bring them here. So the actual prosecutions may have to take place over in Europe.
Huh. Matthew Goldstein, my guest on WNYC, who has the job with the great title of editor in charge of Wall Street investigations for Reuters. You know, I can hear some of our listeners shaking their fists at the radio as we speak and, you know, thundering, is this going to be another case of mid-level arrests that never reach the upper levels of bank management who really make the decisions or approve the decisions?
Well, you know, I think they're, to be realistic, I think there's a good chance of that sometimes happening. I think there's a real incentive on justice to move quickly on this because of all the criticism. They have not done a lot of high-profile convictions out of the financial crisis, but it does become very hard to get for their vantage point to go to the people at the top. And as you know, there's an old saying that if you go for the king, you better kill him. And the one thing prosecutors don't like to do is bring cases that they don't think they can win. But, you know, you never know. If they get lower-level people to flip and provide evidence, they may be able to help them build cases higher up.
And by the way, didn't Barclays agree last month to pay $450 million in fines and penalties, but that included a non-prosecution agreement as part of the deal?
Right. And that's something that you're seeing more often. That's taking place where Justice Department has done that with companies with increasing frequency. They don't really have that ability over in Europe. And some people say, well, why don't you indict the company? And, you know, there's good and bad of that, because obviously if you indict a financial company, you're effectively going to put it out of business. We saw what happened with Arthur Andersen. And I know prosecutors are very loath to do that, and their feeling is if they get a non-prosecution agreement, at least it's an admission of culpability by the institution. Whether that's effective in changing behavior, I mean, I'm not convinced of that.
Who are the victims in the LIBOR rate fixing?
Well, you know, I may be somewhat different than some of my other journalistic colleagues. I'm not convinced that there were a lot of victims, or it's difficult to identify the victims, because obviously there were pension funds that invested in some of these sort of interest rate sensitive securities that were tied to LIBOR. But, you know, if LIBOR is being manipulated in one level, you may have benefited at another level. I mean, keeping LIBOR low could actually help someone getting a loan. You know, a lot of loans are tied as a benchmark. So I think in terms of the dollars and cents of who got hurt, we will definitely see litigation, but there will be a deeper analysis. Well, okay, maybe you got hurt on this transaction, but did you get helped on another? And, you know, it's a little bit like, I don't want to bring in another scandal, a little bit like the market timing scandal with mutual funds from about 10 years or so ago,
mm-hmm.
where you just had a little bit of it was basically the actual harm to investors sometimes can be hard to see, but it's more what was the profit motive for the people involved and how much they made. And the idea is you don't want to have a system where people can effectively game the system. Even if the actual harm to investors may not be in individual things large. It's the idea that there's a select class that can sort of change the rules as they want.
I think Mayor Bloomberg has said that with the different kinds of banks and investors here, it may be a net wash for New York with those mm-hmm. who gained and those who lost
right.
from the
right.
manipulation. On the other hand, we have Attorney General for New York State Eric Schneiderman coming on later in the program, and reportedly he's investigating at least the possibility of filing civil suits against some banks because I guess the New York State Pension Fund would have lost money if these interest rates were, illegally manipulated below the market.
Sure. I mean, I think you're going to see that. Before the whole Barclays settlement came out, there have been private lawsuits already been pending for pending class actions for about a year and a half based on those kind of claims. So people have been arguing this, and those cases are working through. I just think at the end of the day, it will be difficult to identify that. And I've talked to other lawyers on this, and they can argue it on both sides. And I would expect, an attorney general to be aggressive in pushing it. But, if a pension fund also was involved in doing some sort of borrowing that it needed or some sort of leveraged loans it invested in, it could have benefited. So I think it's going to be – the litigation is going to be an interesting analysis behind how it actually all plays out.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Congress today. Of course, the Republicans in general may be a little softer on the banks than the Democrats are, but they
not on Geithner, I don't think.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They also want to make Obama's Treasury Secretary look as guilty of anything as they possibly can.
Yeah, I would think so.
During the
yeah.
election season, so that's going to be interesting testimony today in the House. Matthew Goldstein, editor in charge of Wall Street Investigations for Reuters. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a Michael Bloomberg public health scorecard. Has the public health mayor made us any less sick? Hint, the answer appears to be yes. Stay with us.